Welcome back. ESPN 1000. Thank you to our guests today, Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic and the great Adam Schefter, who is in San Francisco for tonight's tilt between the Seahawks and the 49ers. And as you probably heard on the odds couple on Friday or the replay on Saturday, Russell Wilson, 8 times in his career, has been an underdog against a division opponent. He is 8-0, lifetime against the spread, covering by an average of 9.4 points. Tonight, the Seahawks are underdog against a division team, getting 6. And that welcomes in Carmen and Yurko. We are winners. We are action. Crosstalk brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Catch the Chicago Wolves in person at Allstate Arena this Saturday night against the Iowa Wild. Get your tickets at ChicagoWolves.com. Hello, hey boys.
Hey now. Yeah, he might be the MVP of the league, too. The MVP getting like 7 points in a division game. I keep thinking the Niners are due for a letdown at some point, too, but it just hasn't happened. So I don't know what to think. I believe the right side is Seattle, but I don't think I have enough conviction to pull the trigger on that one.
You should.
I don't know, man. The Niners are tough. They're tough as nails. No Kittle tonight. You know, that could make a difference. But
you know, Accountability Monday is here.
It is. We had a great weekend.
You had a great weekend.
We both did.
The good kid had a great weekend too.
Yes.
The 3-team parlay I gave you at Twin Peaks on Friday came in.
How about that?
3-teamer. Hopefully everybody collected on that. The Golden Gophers.
Yeah.
Plus the points.
LSU, the Gophers and the Bears.
Tigers. So it's Gophers, Tigers, and Bears. Oh, my.
Yeah.
With a nice little theme that I had in my wagering.
What were the Gophers getting at home there 7 against Penn State? Okay, so you were sitting pretty
regardless. One of my best plays on the odds couple. 2-0 on the odds couple.
The only game that scared me was the Bears game because I didn't know what I was going to get. I didn't know what the hell the Bears were going to do. Felt a little better having it at 2.5/3
when I wagered
on it on Friday, which is a great way to have it. Then I heard the Stafford thing was going to happen, so I'm like, okay, bonus Bears.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bears still made it interesting, still made it tight.
What did the good kid pocket say, jelly beans wise ish?
Only 600.
To... Okay.
Yeah, only 600.
What do you mean only?
That's only 600. I bet $100.
Not only.
I stay within my means. I'm not one of these guys that likes to go firing off, you know. Haphazard, like, you know, risking the mortgage payment on anything. It's not what I do, man. Very conservative.
Not what I do, man.
So, your takeaway from what you watched yesterday?
They're still hard to watch.
Yeah.
Well, the whole first half was difficult, except for the last drive of the first half when they softened up the defense and all of a sudden he could find people.
Okay, so do you realize that the breakdown is once they went to that last drive and they started to move Mitch and they played with some tempo, do you know that in the second half they ran their plays 8 seconds faster per play on average?
Do it. Do more of that. It's the only way you're going to win games. I mean, it might be too little, too late, but do what you did last year.
Listen, you're 4-5. Okay, you're 4-5.
6% chance of making the playoffs.
You're going to play the Rams.
Yeah, who are
this week
stinking themselves?
Who looked awful themselves?
Yes, 5-4.
And what do you do? What do you do well? Yeah. You defend theoretically the run well. Now we're going to talk about defensive line play. You know, when we get into our show and we start really breaking it down, we're going to get into some defensive line play and what I saw. 97. Yeah, he's got a name, but yeah, he hasn't played well enough for me to give him a name.
Leads the team in sacks.
Congratulations with 6. So 97. We'll break down 95. He's got a hyphen in his name. That's all I know about him. Yeah, we'll talk about a little bit of what I saw defensively out of these defensive linemen, how they were trying to work, you know, specifically against the Detroit Lions yesterday and what made them successful. Or at least when they were successful, what was it they were doing to make themselves successful?
Can you give us a tease or a taste of your assessment of one Khalil Mack?
I'm fine with Khalil Mack. I have no issues with Khalil Mack as you move forward, period. Khalil Mack is on the field busting his chops all the time trying to make things happen. I don't have
an
issue.
He's busting his own chops?
No, he's busting his chops trying to make things happen. He's working hard. I got no issues with Khalil Mack whatsoever. Not one complaint with Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack keeps doing what he's the one constant the Bears have defensively.
The play of Nick Kwiatkowski.
That kid, man.
He's gonna get some money because he's gonna be a free agent after this.
How many of his tackles were sacks?
I don't think he had a sack yesterday, did he?
Well, I don't know how they can even talk about that. There were a number of different times I saw him getting the quarterback in the backfield. They didn't count those as sacks. It's an absolute shame if Kwiatkowski didn't get any sacks yesterday.
I don't know, but he is.
Yeah, they gave him, what, one sack at the very least. He had himself a TFL also.
And they had, what, two sacks as a team?
Correct.
Two sacks as a team. Nick Williams did have the other.
Nick Williams had one, yeah.
Listen, they had some good pressure on guys. They were grasping the quarterback. The quarterback found a way to get rid of the ball right at the end. So, congratulations. Pressure more important than sacks, remember.
Yeah, Leonard Floyd had
some good pressure. Sack numbers. Don't look at the sack numbers. Look at the pressures. If you're getting pressure, eventually you're going to get the sacks.
Leonard Floyd, actually, played pretty well.
I thought he had a good – that final drive, he was actually applying some pressure. He made Driscoll get rid of the ball a little bit quicker. Thank goodness. About time. Maybe he'll have a good second half like he did last year. I don't know. I don't know what else to hope for.
Well, that was the beginning of your second half. So.
That's what I mean. Maybe.
York, did you watch the Green Bay-Carolina game?
Sure, watched the whole game.
Okay, what did you think of the roughing the passer on Gerald McCoy?
I thought it was a horrific call. Terrible
call. So did
call.
I. And then I thought it was ironic.
And Strahan's explanation at halftime, you know, where he said, well, you've got to just roll away right away. He didn't roll on him. He didn't bury him into the ground. Watch the Philadelphia Eagles from the late 80s when they had Clyde Simmons, Reggie White, Jerome Brown. That's what they did to quarterbacks, and that's what they were doing to quarterbacks here up till about 3 years ago. What happened there was a young man that was conscious of the fact that he can't land on top of him and did a good amount to try to get away from him. Jerome Boger is terrible.
And then it was ironic.
He's a terrible official. He's awful, god-awful. And the offensive pass interference on the sideline with the lack of athleticism by the Carolina defensive back, which led to a penalty on Lazard, was brutal, too. Yeah, you don't throw penalties for lack of athleticism. You look at the kid from Carolina and say, what the hell's wrong with you, kid? Stand your feet.
Barely got touched. And then I thought it was ironic.
Brutal.
That after they called the roughing the passer, at the end of that drive, Matt LaFleur should have taken the field goal. He went for it with 2 seconds, and it was the same guy, Gerald McCoy, who blew up Aaron Jones.
And who didn't get to him? Who's supposed to get to him and didn't get to him? Bakhtiari.
Bakhtiari.
One of your best offensive linemen.
Went right by him.
Wow. You know, you got a guy on you, but he's the one that's got to reach that inside guy on that wedge. Maybe the guard left him too quick. Maybe. But, you know, what are you going to do? Should he have kicked the field goal? Yes. They came out with the ball in the second half. They scored a touchdown on the first possession anyway, right? That's what Green Bay did?
Correct.
So they kind of just said, okay, they quashed any of that. But, yeah, the 3 and the 7 would have given them a much nicer lead going in. And the late play where 73 was trying to drag Christian McCaffrey over the line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about dragging him over the line if you make your initial block. If you make your initial block, McCaffrey walks into the end zone. And you're going for a 2-point conversion, and we got ourselves one hell of a finish.
And I had Carolina
for Monday Night Football. Right?
So mad.
Right?
Yeah.
73 makes his block. He doesn't have to reach back to try to drag him over the line.
Yeah.
He missed.
Could have used an extra fantasy touchdown into McCaffrey, too.
Yeah, I could have used 10 extra fantasy touchdowns yesterday.
I was hoping.
So,
Stafford, give us a good angle.
Stafford goes down, he's not going to play. So, right. At about 11:50, I realized, wait a minute, I might be playing Stafford in one of my things. So I've got to log out on one, and I got to re-log in under another thing. I see I've got him, so I got to drop Stafford. I pick up Trubisky because he's the top-rated quarterback that was next.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up Trubisky. It happens. I go to make the substitution. It allows it.
Whoa.
And then 11:55 clicks. 5 minutes before the game, you can't make your substitution, and it denies me. I went and I complained. I raised all hell. The boys went and put it through. They saw me making the effort. The actual acquisition took place in plenty of time, so they were all okay with me. And then I'm watching in the first half, and I'm going, geez, why'd I pick this guy? I'm like, why'd I pick this guy? What in the hell are you thinking picking this guy, Yurko?
You ended up getting a good game out of him.
Well, I ended up getting at least some points, and it was a competitive game because of that, and I know nobody cares about my fantasy team. The point is to get back to the Bears. Watching that first half, there were questions. Why? What? How? When? This stinks. My God. Ow. Ooh. Not a good play. The whole time. And then what does Detroit do? They make the mistake before half, and they go and they start playing soft coverage. That's Detroit's mistake that they made. Okay? And the Bears were allowed to go ahead and capitalize. And thank heavens Trubisky did. Congratulations, Trubisky. You capitalized on that. You made a nice throw going which direction?
Right.
To your right.
Right.
To your right. And he actually put some loft under the ball.
He had a couple of good throws.
He put some
beautiful
touch under
the
ball.
Great throw to Gabriel.
Nice.
The throw to Broniker
nice.
Was good.
The catch by Broniker. He had both points.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Not the ideal way to catch a ball, but.
No, but he said, I grabbed it and I squeezed as hard as I could because I knew it was going to get hit.
As long as you catch the ball, that's all that matters. I don't care how you catch it, as long as you catch it.
Right.
I don't care how you play quarterback. That's like the Bears game. It was an ugly game.
It was, yes.
It was god awful.
We're used to those, Johnny.
God awful game. It was pathetic. It was ugly. Yeah, you're not going
to
sit there and talk about that one 20 years from now when you go, ooh, the top 100 games that the Bears have ever played. That's not it, but they won.
Yeah, they did.
They win. When you win, the beer tastes better, okay? The beer tasted better last night.
Y'all for the party and club dub when you win?
Do whatever you want. Yeah. You win, knock I don't care what you do. Knock, as long as you're prepared to play today. Yeah. Look at the film, learn, assess, and move forward. That type of effort is not going to win a lot of games. But it won that game. And that's the only game that was played. The
decision to move Cody Whitehair back to center.
Fine, I like it.
He can't snap the ball.
I enjoy it.
There's that.
Okay, there's your one concern. That over the concern, at least you've got a solid point at center. You're not getting pushed back. I mean, I saw James Daniels on skates. Carm, I thought he was in full retreat mode. I thought they hit the bells and, you know, they played the trumpet horn. It's retreat, full retreat. Where the hell was he going?
I don't know.
Before the back foot ever set, Trubisky was already, 68 was coming at him like a freight train. That's not supposed to happen.
Yeah. All right, I guess it's the lesser of
He's 300 and some odd pounds. At least on when you run the ball, you got a guy that's solid at the point of attack.
Okay.
And Whitehair is solid at the point of attack via the run.
He's got to snap the ball properly.
If you're ever going to have a proper run game, Whitehair has to be at the center position.
Then it should have happened after the Oakland game.
Should have never have changed.
Right.
Is what it should have never have done.
So
they should have never changed in the offseason.
So that was draft position. Is that draft position that forced that? Because they've got competent coaches like Heastand.
You've drafted two centers and you've turned them into guards. The versatility of offensive linemen is fantastic if you have it. If you've got a guy that can play center and either one of the guards, could go great for you. If you've got a guy that can play center, two guards, and a tackle position, well, that versatility allows you to do some fantastic things. Bruce Matthews played all three positions when he was with the Houston Oilers / Tennessee Titans.
By the way,
and you know, he was a Pro Bowler at, I think, every single position.
This is ESPN 1000 WMVP AM Chicago. So back to your own progress.
That type of versatility is fantastic for a coach. You can keep six guys active. You can keep different positions, more guys linebacker, guys on special teams, when you've got that versatility in your offensive linemen. Daniels, can't play center in this league. He's as horrendous Grasso was.
Will he ever,
at the center position. Doesn't mean that he can't play guard.
Right? No. You got to wonder, will he ever play center, though, then, right? I mean,
well, not the way he's been playing
22,
it.
Maybe.
Not the way he's been playing it.
I mean,
there's going to be a load of improvement that needs to take place.
How much better would this running game be? And again, the coach still has a commitment issue to the running game. We
sure
all know
does.
That.
Absolutely.
So that's,
he does.
That's evident. But maybe some of that is because he doesn't see results. If Cody had been at center day one this year, do you think this running game is vastly different, or it's just...
I mean, what type of difference are you looking for? Even if it's 10% better, is it that enough? If it's 10% is better,
yeah, I mean,
but it's not good enough.
Yeah, no.
10% better doesn't make it good enough.
No, I would be looking for more than that.
Right. I mean, 10% better now would probably give you an extra 60 yards a game.
That'd give you, yeah.
That doesn't do anything for you. That doesn't get your rocks off. This running game would be better. This team would be better if this quarterback would put the ball under his arm and run the ball. And that goes against conventional wisdom. It does. Nobody would sit here and tell you that, hey, you want your quarterback to run the ball.
That's what they're doing in Baltimore.
But guess what I don't care about? I don't care about this quarterback's health. Okay? We're going to use this quarterback until he can't go anymore.
All right, here's Matt Nagy. We got a rock and roll. Matt Nagy coming up, and then Carmen and Yurko out of it. See you tomorrow.
Yep. Where is Matt? Oh, gosh. As far as injuries, nothing changed from yesterday. Watching the game, just going back, I thought that for our team, it was just a good team win, just getting a win in general. We needed that. So I'll just start. Go to questions.
You watched the play that Danny got hurt on.
I did, yeah.
What's your reaction just visually
Yeah, it's not real pretty, you know. So, but it's a part of this game, and you know, you hate to see that. So we'll see how that goes here as moving forward.
Is there a reason that IR is in the discussions you'll be having over the next few days?
It could be. Again, we'll know more here in the next couple of days, but we'll see where it goes as far as weeks are concerned.
Danny and Akeem are two of the more vocal leaders on that side of the ball.
Right.
Do you need to see other people step up now without Danny and Akeem, you know, being on the field?
Yeah, that'll happen now, and you got two. You're right. There are two of the more vocal guys on that side of the ball. So when you lose a guy like Danny in the middle, that leadership part you lose a little bit. But then you have Quick come in and do such a great job. I mean, he was all over the field yesterday, and that was really neat to see.
How difficult is it for guys to manufacture that energy that those two guys bring, Danny and Akeem, you know, when they're on the field?
Right. It's hard just because there is so much between the two, just their personalities in general, you know. They're both a little bit different with how they handle their personalities, but they're very similar on the field leadership-wise. So as we move forward here, we'll have guys that are always ready and prepared, and the coaches will have them the same way.
Matt, I don't think it came up yesterday in postgame, but Trey Burton, is there any concern with him?
He had a calf, so we'll just kind of see how that goes.
Matt, with the switch at center yesterday, you went back and looked at the tape. How do you weigh maybe the risk of the snap issue that Cody has had and was an issue yesterday versus the benefits that you guys obviously think there are of him being at center?
But we did just that. We did. You weigh that out and you say, okay, if you make that switch, are the pros better than the cons? And so going through a couple snap issues here or there were a few of those yesterday. We've been through that before, and Cody's done a great job of pulling through that. So we just know that making that switch for a lot of different reasons is more beneficial, and then we have ways that we can protect some of the snaps.
Did the tape show that the switch was worth it?
Yes.
The benefits were
for
there.
Sure. Yeah.
What ways? Can you be more expansive about what you liked?
With the switch
and why, you know,
just a lot of it comes down to you know, some experience, some communication, that sort of thing. I'd say that's probably the biggest thing.
Is there a benefit to having a veteran like Cody between two guys who have little experience?
That's probably a good way to look at it, for sure. I think you have a balance when you look at it before, you know, you have experience wise you're dealing with Leno on the left, right, Cody, and then you have James and Rashad. And so, you know, that was one of the things that we looked at with that switch, you know, and then I think it's just, you kind of balance it out a little bit.
How did James handle the move personally, just telling him, so he doesn't feel like a scapegoat for some of the
Yeah, well, we were very honest and open with him, and he handled it great. He really did, because we told him this is a team thing. This isn't an individual thing. We love your trajectory. We love the way you're playing. This is just, there's more to it, and he completely understood. He was great.
Matt, with your forward-looking approach to things, when you see flashes out of Mitch like you saw in the second and third quarter yesterday, where does that leave you as you look?
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting is when you go back and watch it, it was actually all four quarters. And we had some mistakes on offense that wasn't him. And that's what I took from this, was that yesterday he really, across the board, he missed one guy on a route. He missed that. When I say he didn't throw it to him, he had maybe two of the whole game. He had two throws that he probably won't back, but none of them were critical. And he made a bunch of really good throws. The one that never got talked about, the best throw of the game yesterday was the one he threw to A-Rob down the left sideline when he got hit. That's not a lot of guys make that throw. And he stood in there and made that throw, and A-Rob made a hell of a catch.
What are the biggest things that give you the belief that he is going to get himself to where he should be?
Just seeing that. When everybody does what they're supposed to do, you know, it's good, because you see when 11 guys do their job, and then he's able to be better at his job. And I think that's what you take away from it. It's just, if one guy just messes up just a little bit, then sometimes it goes back to the quarterback.
Matt, how much responsibility is there in the quarterback to do something when all ten other guys aren't doing it? When there's a bad snap and he can't see the defense right away, when a play breaks down, it just doesn't seem like he's making plays out of those adverse situations. I mean, do you just say, well, that's just the offense wrecking it for him, or does he have a responsibility to overcome that, like other guys.
Right. I would say throughout the beginning of the season, there hasn't been as many of those using his legs. Yesterday, you saw at least three where he used his legs in those situations, whether it was a snap or whether it was somebody ran the wrong route. And it looks like he's not throwing it to who he should, but really the route's not the right route. And so now you got to ad lib. And you saw that there was a couple plays yesterday. It might have been a 3-yard gain, but it's better than a 4-yard loss.
Was the one he missed where I think it was Allen's going?
Yeah. In the corner?
Yeah, in the corner.
Yeah.
I think he looked right, then left, went straight to Tariq. What is he?
Yeah, he did. He looked just for an instant. He's just checking the protection real quick, and then he goes over to the other side, and there's some different things we can do over there. So that's not the first time, and it won't be the last time. It's magnified because of where we're at.
Man, how do you balance the three scoring drives versus the nine that ended in punts, and what can you do to take away from the success that you had in those touchdown drives?
Well, just understanding how good it felt to we were moving the ball, we were staying ahead of the sticks, which is a theme here for us. As we do that, we can do some good things now on offense. End of the game, you get more situational, you know, with the 4-minute stuff. Different, we have some different calls made at different times, and then the defense can we do what we do based off of what the defense does. I'm talking 4-minute, but you know, it goes back to right now we got to be better on the opening drive. You know, we're not as good there, and we got to be better there.
Matt, you had a similar kind of mini explosion against Washington. Is this different? Does it feel different at all that maybe it's a little bit more sustainable than that ended up being?
I think it does. You know, I for us, just the fact that we've been going through it a bunch of weeks now, and you feel like, I really believe that when we stay ahead of the chains and we get to a second and, you know, 4, 2nd and 3, or you get a first down after a first down, we get going. We get in rhythms. We get chunk plays. And then we want to be better in the red zone. And yesterday we had that big one, the big red zone, 3rd and 7 on the throw to TG. But I think there's just different parts of it. And for us, we definitely want to get to that touchdown type stuff. Yeah, you're good.
What do you need to see from Adam Shaheen to have him factor into your game plan?
Again, we want all of our players to be able to be completely detailed and just play hard and do everything they can to be the best player they can be.
Man, going back to staying ahead of the chains there, you guys were sacked on 2nd and 6 and 3rd and 1. Anything that you saw in those particular plays, you know, the 2nd and 6 play action where Mitch looks like he's going downfield, Taylor, I believe, falls on the other 3rd and 1. Anything you diagnosed in those?
Which 3rd and 1 were you talking about?
The 3rd and 1 play action. I think it's early in the fourth quarter where Taylor kind of just ends up falling down.
Yeah, the one 3rd and 1 was there was some stuff involved there I'm not going to get into on this one, but I mean, I just think that there's some aggressiveness in some areas, and when you're 2nd and 6, you know, you want to stay away from sacks on 2nd and 6 because you want to stay 3rd and manageable. And you know, we were 2 for 12 yesterday on 3rd down. We weren't nearly as good as we needed to be with that.
Sorry. Does Shaheen have a chance to be active this week, or is this an until further notice, this is the way you're going to go with it?
Right. Again, we're kind of working through all that.
With Trey, when you went back and watched the tape, did you see opportunities for him that were missed, or are you just not seeing opportunities for him to get the ball?
Yeah, yesterday, he had that one catch on the sideline that was close, bang, bang, with the feet. And then there's some opportunities here or there. Yesterday, there weren't just quite as many.
I know you've said if you're on the field, you don't want any reservations for guys. Do you see Burton playing with any reservations, just given the nature of the groin injury that still has kind of lingered?
No, I feel like for him, yeah, again, he's not at that 100% level. So it's trying to say, okay, what are the right routes for him to do to where you feel that burst, or you feel like he can, you know, beat man coverage. And he's given it everything he can, and that's just kind of where we're at.
There's Matt Nagy, the head coach of the Bears, brought to you on ESPN 1000 by Goose Island award-winning craft beer. Happy Victory Monday. Nice to say that after going a month without saying it. I mean, for the first time in a long time, Bears win a game. The 4-game losing streak is over. They beat the Lions for the 3rd consecutive time, 20-13. The final, Bears actually covered 2 for just the 3rd time this year. They improved to 4-5 on the season. They caught some breaks, but hey, you know what? You run with it. No Matthew Stafford. Couple of top running backs out of the game. One couldn't start the game. One's on IR already. One had to leave the game early for the Lions. But you make no excuses, right? You don't apologize. You take the win,
and you roll into Los Angeles for Sunday Night Football as they will try to get back to 500. The Bears still don't have much of an answer at the tight end position, although it was nice to see the Harvard guy, the smart guy, right? The smart kid.
Sure.
Ben Broniker with a touchdown reception in the game. Trey Burton still not involved all that much. You heard what Matt Nagy just said, you know, nowhere near 100%. You can forget about Adam Shaheen. That was pretty telling, too. Chris will go ahead and bring
healthy
that little
scratch.
Soundbite. Yeah. Yeah, and the way he said it. Chris will bring that soundbite back. We'll play it later on. But something to the effect of, what was it? I was trying to jot it down, but Chris is going to bring it back. You know, everybody's got to be prepared and do what is, you know, what's...
do their job.
Yeah, like, or do their job and do, you know, own up to their response. Something very damning.
Yeah.
I mean, Adam Shaheen just, you know, maybe behind the scenes he's not even working hard. It's quite clear on the field he stinks.
Yeah, he's bad.
I mean, there's no doubt. Yeah. And now maybe behind the scenes there's even more that we don't know about.
He doesn't have an injury as an excuse.
Right, he's just a healthy
scratch. Which seems is what they've given Trey Burton.
A second-round pick.
Yeah, and Trey, it's okay. You're okay no matter what. Because we think you're hurt, and that's okay.
I mean,
Shaheen's been a bust.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Second round pick.
It's officially now healthy scratch. He's a bust.
I mean, really.
I don't think looking. I don't think watching. He doesn't want to engage in blocks. Oh, Adam Shaheen is a bust. Now you move on from him.
You're healthy scratching a second
point,
round pick.
I would expect Adam Shaheen to be out on the street unemployed.
Oh, my God.
That's what I would expect. Why they would do it to, you know, the running back they did to get the compensatory pick or set themselves up for a compensatory pick. Why Shaheen is still wearing a Bears uniform, I have no idea. If anything, you let him walk, you let him get out of here, go catch on with somebody else. We don't necessarily care. It doesn't make a difference. But he should be unemployed here pretty soon.
312-332-3776. That is the phone number. If you want to join us on a Victory Monday, even though it is Victory Monday, does it feel all that different? I mean, is it like, does your mindset or your attitude about the Bears change at all? Is it too little too late?
Out of the playoffs.
Oh, yes. I mean, listen, 538, not that that's the end all be all. Teams can outperform those expectations. Look at the Washington Nationals. I mean, I get it, but if you're just going on the probability right now, you got a 6% shot of making the playoffs. They're a long way out of the playoffs thanks to a 4-game losing streak. And even yesterday, with everything lining up perfectly for them, it was kind of a grind, wasn't it? It felt like it was a grind.
Oh, no, it was a real grind.
And the offense still isn't very good. They still got outgained badly. They still didn't get to 300 yards. They have just one of those games this year.
And Detroit's ineptitude helped you out. It helped you out. Detroit's inability to really do anything kind of helped you out, too. They moved the ball. Then they got down there and settled for field goals.
How about the penalties? How about Detroit? Oh, my God.
Well, they look like
all
the Bears.
The penalties.
They look like the Bears last week. They looked like the ones shooting themselves in the foot.
I mean, they took themselves out of the game.
Exactly. Yeah, they're going to go home. They're going to feel sick in their stomachs about exactly what happened. And they're going to feel sick that they allowed Mitch Trubisky to be very successful against them, at least for three drives. For three drives, Mitch Trubisky looked like a quarterback. The rest of the game, not so much. And the one, you saw the frustration on Allen Robinson, the one down the left sideline in the second half, where he knew he was open, he knew there was room, and he was overthrown. Or the ball was thrown just a little bit in front of him, kind of on a bad angle, not to him. If it was a little bit behind him, it would have been a situation where I think Allen Robinson could have been able to make a play. Either way, he wasn't put in a position to make a play, and I think it frustrated him a lot.
Do you feel differently about the Bears today after the Lions game, or is it the same old, especially with the offensive performance? Yeah, they got the 20, and there were three drives that were pretty good, but it's still left with just a bad taste in our mouths, I think, for all of us. Bears had just 226 total yards of offense. They've been miserable the last 2 weeks on third down. They're one of the worst third down teams in the NFL. They have been all year. They're 29th out of the 32 teams in the NFL, but the last 2 weeks, the Bears are converting on third down, Yerk, less than 1 out of 5. 18%. 18% the last 2 weeks on third down. And maybe you'd say, well, that's just sort of a blip and that won't happen. But they've been pretty bad all year, at below 30% on third down. But that is tough to sustain drives. It's tough to score in this league and be a very good offense when that's all you're getting on third down. Terrible.
It's not ideal. It's not perfect. It doesn't make the future look any brighter offensively. But they found a way to win a game.
They can get to 500 with another one of them, and they smacked
against
the Rams around last year.
Against the Rams, also against a team that doesn't look like they're mighty.
No.
Doesn't look like Jared Goff's having the year of years. OK, Okay? It doesn't. So it puts you in a situation where you can get on the road. You can get out of Chicago. You were 2-3 in Chicago. You get on the road, and maybe you can go ahead and create a little bit of chaos in L.A. against the Rams. It's good to get away from Chicago every once in a while. Stay away from the pitfalls, though. Stay away from the distractions and be ready to play football next week. I still think it's another one where the defense can go out and help you dominate. I think Jared Goff is limited at quarterback. I think you need to keep the squeeze and the pressure on and do not allow him to sit back there against the zone defense with the pressure that hasn't quite been adequate enough this year, because he could tear you apart in that regard. Keep the pressure on him. Get after him.
312-332-3776. That's the number. We'll take your Bears calls today. Allen Robinson will join us at 1 o'clock. Victory Mondays are brought to you by Chicagoland Acura Dealers. You can hit us up on Twitter. Yurko is at Yurko64. That's Yurko with the J and the number 64. I'm at Carmen DeFalco. It's Carmen and Yurko on a Victory Monday on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
The Bears somehow could grab the lead before we hit halftime on a 2nd and 5. Trubisky lays it out there. Caught! Touchdown! Ben Bronecker for the Bears.
Tremendous throw by Trubisky. And Bronecker gets his first career touchdown on a corner route here as he powers by Will Harris and dives for that catch.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
Ryan Eagle, Dan Fouts, CBS. Yesterday, Bears win 3rd straight against the Lions. They improved to 4-5 on the year. They'll see the Lions again 2 weeks from Thursday on Thanksgiving Day. First things first, Week 11 trip out to Los Angeles for Sunday Night Football to take on the slumping Rams, who fell to 5-4. And the offense scored 3 measly points on the road in Pittsburgh yesterday. That Steelers defense is playing great, though. The Bears defense, I know a lot of people were critical of that opening drive when Driscoll took them down and the Lions got 3. But the Bears defense has still been pretty good. They got some things that fell their way yesterday, let's face it. Top 2 running backs for the Lions out. Matthew Stafford, for the first time in, 9 years, doesn't start a game in the NFL. So they catch a few breaks, but the defense is still playing well, just 13 points allowed. Greg on Twitter does not like your assessment that Khalil Mack is A-OK, Yurko. He says, so you're okay with Mack never getting near the quarterback? Pagano has him in coverage. He can't get off a block. You should watch closer. You're way off. For $30 million a year, what's he needs to be name? Better. You're wrong.
Wait a minute. What's his name?
Greg.
Well, first of all, he's not getting paid $30 million a year.
No.
So he's way off right there. So that's his mistake. Secondly,
tweet him back, Yurko.
Secondly, if a coach puts you in coverage, that's not Khalil Mack's fault. That's Pagano's fault.
Well, I think he's saying he doesn't trust him rushing.
So if he's got a problem with Pagano and the way he's utilizing Mack, then that's a problem with Pagano. So focus on what you need to focus on. Pagano would be the problem there if you're dropping him in coverage.
I took it as he doesn't trust Mack rushing the quarterback right now. That's why he was in coverage.
Well, that's a silly statement.
I'm interpreting.
Maybe what he's doing is he's presenting Mack up there, dropping him coverage, hoping that somebody else does something.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he's doing.
I was surprised how much Mack dropped in coverage yesterday in the second half. Were you?
I was surprised. Anytime he's in coverage, I'm surprised.
Yeah.
They're also a very poor, you know, somebody was asking earlier, I think it was Pat Boyle was asking, you know, they don't do anything stunt-wise. Oh, no, they ran stunts all day. They're just a poor stunt-running team. They are. They're horrific at it.
Why is that?
And Leonard Floyd doesn't do his defensive tackle any favors the way he runs the stunt. He doesn't present himself as coming up hard off the corner like he's actually making a legitimate tackle's not concerned with him.
Right.
Because when he runs a stunt, he just dances. He stands up and he dances, waits for the tackle to get out there, and the tackle ends up getting crushed and tackle ends up getting killed. But they were running some stunts. Now, you run some 3-man stunts. It's what causes the Bears all the problems in the world. 3-man stunts. That's what you need to start running. Instead of that, you know, Floyd coming up the field, then he runs all the way around on the other side of the center.
That's what you're looking at.
Well, that's what causes the Bears problems.
That does cause them problems.
3-man stunts causes the Bears problems. How about a W super?
Yeah.
Run off a W, but the tackles end up, look like they're running a twist in the middle. They continue all the way outside, run on the outside. That one causes a little bit of confusion. There's stunts that can be out there. And again, if you're disturbed because the stats aren't there and the sacks aren't there, that's one thing. Okay? If you're concerned,
He has one sack in five games?
I'm not concerned about the effort that he gives. I'm not concerned about the way he plays the run. The only game he had difficulty playing the run in was Oakland. Oakland went at his legs and his feet.
Yeah, they did.
Chopped him. He was slow. Then they worked the big ball.
Yep.
And worked on things going toward the feet, and he became a whole lot better because of that. Yeah, Mac, I'm not worried about. And I'll say it again. Mac, I'm not worried about. And he's your $22 million a year defensive lineman, not your $30 million a year defensive lineman or defensive linebacker, whatever the hell he plays.
I will call him a linebacker.
His hands in the ground. He's a defensive lineman. If he's in coverage, he's a linebacker.
This hour of the show is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Catch the Wolves in person at Allstate this Saturday night against the Iowa Wild. Get your tickets at ChicagoWolves.com. It is a victory Monday, so we are talking Bears, NFL. We're talking football in general. LSU with an upset win. Minnesota with an upset win. The Fighting Illini, a two-touchdown underdog in East Lansing, down 28-3 at one point with an upset victory. Who would have thought? We do this a lot, right? What if I would have told you? If I came to you in August and said on November 11th, by the way, happy Veterans Day, everybody. More on that a little bit later as we go on, too. If you're a veteran today, we always let you cut right to the front of the line.
That's right.
And don't, like, no stolen valor. Don't lie about it to Randy Merkin just so you can get on first.
Although they do.
Like, you get, you know, serve. If you serve or have served, you jump to the front of the line. That's Veterans Day. If I would have told you in August that on November 11th, Lovie Smith would have two more wins than the Bears, what would you have said?
You're crazy. Because the over-under on wins for the Fighting Illini was three.
Three, I think, yeah.
Three.
Well, they've blown by that, and they should get to seven. They're off this week. Then they go where? I think they go to Iowa still, right? And then Northwestern at home.
I think
is the last game in the regular season. But they're going bowling.
Right. Northwestern was five. Northwestern was either five or six.
That ain't going to happen.
That's not happening for Northwestern this year. Are we going to call Illinois Chicago's Big Ten team now?
No.
Why not?
Can you believe that the Northwestern Wildcats are laying 38 this week?
To who?
UMass. That's why.
Oh, UMass is awful.
They're laying 38.
This might be one of the few games that UMass covers.
It might be.
I think UMass is either 0-9 or 1-9, depending upon how many games they are, against the spread this year.
So talk football with us today, 312-332-3776. A few guys on Twitter showing the sentiment that they were surprised how often Pagano was dropping Mac into coverage again, especially in that second half. Did it feel like Pagano dialed up the pressure a little bit more yesterday? We were wondering about that going into the game because they haven't generated a ton of it with their front four.
I saw him bring in five, the sugar rush where the Kwiatkowski would get up toward the line of scrimmage and then kind of mirror what the quarterback was doing. So not actually a blitz, but just, hey, we got a spy here. And he's going to take a look if he's going to decide to run the ball. And I think they did that later after the quarterback hurt him a couple of times with the rush.
Yeah, so, can he run or what, though, Driscoll?
Yes, he can run. He didn't want to run six, though. He didn't want to rush six guys. No. Pagano wasn't going to bring the sixth guy. It just didn't seem that way. It seemed like when he did pass rush, he rushed with a fifth.
I still think the Bears defense had a pretty good game, all in all. And again, I get it. Wow. Like, they had some things fall their way personnel-wise, right? I mean, we've documented that. I totally understand it. They're still fourth in the league in points allowed this year. They gave up 13 points. There's no doubt you should win a game like that at home almost every time. They won it yesterday. Kyle Fuller had a terrible day. And I mean, about as bad of a day as you're going to have.
Remember, but one of my keys to victory was that Fuller and Amukamara, you're going to ask those guys because you want to bring some pressure to man up, and it's going to have to happen for you. Well, fortunately, it didn't kill you.
It did not.
Fuller's bad day did not kill you.
I also think that he's probably lucky he didn't get tossed. You shouldn't be grabbing the official. The official was, I think he caught him in a good mood and on a good day. Like, if that were Joey Crawford, he would have been tossed easily, right?
I'm trying to remember the play that the argument took place
when
over.
Driscoll rushed for a first down on third down. That was a terrible call. And Kyle Fuller should have been upset. Terrible.
Yes, it was a terrible call.
It was an absolutely horrendous call. And I get that it's hard for the officials because it's bang, bang, and it's happening quick. There's enough of them on the field where they shouldn't miss that. It was a terrible, terrible call.
He makes a late half-ass slide. He's not into a slide. Okay? He's not into the slide. What he was doing was not a slide. You can get to be hit. And he put his shoulder in there. He didn't make head contact.
Terrible.
Doesn't matter. It's an awful call.
And that just seemed to send Kyle, like careening off the cliff into a really bad day for whatever reason.
Spiraling down the
Exactly.
The toilet bowl.
Right, yes. Right. But he grabbed the official, too, and he could have very easily, right. But he let him kind of, I think he knew right. He was mad. He let him, maybe he even knew it was a bad call.
Right, you grabbed the jersey like that, it could have been an automatic. Oh, goodbye, yeah. Hasta la bye-bye.
He was trying to tell him to watch the video board.
And a fine, yeah.
He would say, look.
Listen, the referee, after he makes the decision, if something happens like that, he knows he's wrong.
They might have known.
They know they're wrong.
Yeah.
Can't recover. Their stuff gets analyzed, too.
Cody's in South Bend on ESPN 1000. Hey, Cody.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sure.
I'm just really confused in what Pagano is play calling, and how and why on God's green earth are you going to put Mac in coverage? Every play, I mean, you see him always, like, take the second down. So, I mean, he's always playing at least two downs. Why not play those two downs where he's going after the quarterback or switch him up? And Leonard Floyd is a complete bust. He runs into the guard and flails his arms, tries to get the holding call. I mean, it's ridiculous. He might as well move back into the linebacker in coverage. I'd rather have him instead of Mack in coverage. It's just ridiculous. I don't understand it.
Of the two, one has pass rush capabilities and the other one does not. So Mack can rush the passer. Floyd cannot. But every once in a while, you change it up and you're going to bring it. You bring both sometimes. You drop one in coverage. Would I prefer Mac rush the passer? Yes,
yeah,
I would prefer Mac rush the passer.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, you don't know what his physical limitations are right now. Yeah. And everybody wants to give Trey Burton the benefit of the doubt because he's been injured. He might be a little bit banged up. He might need the blow.
Hmm.
Would you rather have him on the sideline not doing anything?
No, I'd rather have him on the field, yeah.
Or do you want him on the field where he might be able to impact something?
I'll always take him on the field. Kababa says, guys, could it be Pagano is dropping him in coverage so often because Driscoll is certainly athletic and capable of running. If anything, I think Kwiatkowski was more kind of the guy they were using as the spy.
They were using him as the spy.
Yeah.
They weren't using Mac to spy
at
all.
It was straight-up coverage
right.
stuff that they were dropping into. Kwiatkowski, by the way, like, hats off. And I can't remember which Bears reporter tweeted this yesterday, so if I get the attribution wrong here, I apologize. I think it was either Weider or Hogue, I think, who said on Twitter at one point, like, is Nick Kwiatkowski having the best game out of any has he had the two best games out of any inside linebacker for the Bears this year? The answer might be yes.
And again,
he's been great the two games he had to come in.
Does he do anything fantastic, or does he just make the basic play? He reads and reacts and puts himself in the right position to make plays.
Yeah, he's like Nink. He just, like, he knows where to be, and he's making plays right now.
It's an instinctive thing for him.
He reads and reacts.
I mean, like,
he's been fantastic when they've had to call him.
Right.
Boy, that was terrible to see Trevathan's injury. And you got a good look of it.
Yeah, that's a busted elbow or something.
Man.
That thing inverted, like, dislocated. It did something. It was gruesome.
I said, please, I don't want to see that again. Don't show that.
I tweeted something about left arm. If I'm a Bears player, I'm putting a brace on my left arm.
Something with the
left. Yeah. I'm doing it. I don't care. Between him and Hicks, those left arms have become susceptible to injury.
Jim is in Chicago Heights. He goes to the front of the line because he served in the Navy. Happy Veterans Day, Jim.
Thank you very much. Bears struggled against a not too good team.
Yeah, they were a terrible team. You can say it.
Yeah, they were. But not only that, but I had picked Detroit as an upset in my confidence pool, so I was very disappointed. But I'm a Bears fan, but I got to go where the money is, and the Bears, there's no way I figured they would win.
You had a rough day all
the way
around.
They found a way to win.
Thanks, Jim.
It's the important thing. Hey, guys, they found a way to win in a game they should have won.
People still don't feel great, though.
The Charger game was they found a way to lose in a game they absolutely dominated. I'd rather have what I have today.
But at 4-5, it's like, well, where are you going now? Listen, we can't complain.
Well, we're not playing in Miami right now, guys. Not the way we're playing. But
hey,
at
Miami's
least,
going back-to-back.
I'm talking about in Miami for the Super Bowl.
Oh, my bad.
In Miami for the Super Bowl. There's not a Super Bowl team, but hey, I want to compete. I don't want my football season over. At 3-6, it's damn well almost over.
That's true. Do you know the one argument we don't have to have? They're messing up their draft status by winning now. Like, we don't have to have that argument.
That's right.
Because they don't have a first-round pick, so they're not messing up anything.
Right. They're messing up the Raiders now.
At least we don't have to have that conversation, because you know that would be the conversation after a 3-5, a win like that, or any subsequent win. Now it would be, guys, they're only messing up their draft stock. No, they're not going to be able to get Joe Burrow. Well, they can't get Joe Burrow anyway because they don't have a first round pick.
Are we going to get Burrow?
Did he solidify the Heisman?
I think he solidified. He played one hell of a game.
I think he may have.
He played one hell of a game.
I think my bet is toast, Yurko. Although Jalen Hurts had five more touchdowns on Saturday.
Yeah.
And, but I think I'm toast.
And really, if Tua was healthy, I don't know. If Tua was healthy, does it make a difference?
Not the kind of season Joe Burrow's having, right?
Well, I'm talking about in the game.
I don't know. Tua got good as the game went on. I mean, he's awfully good. I mean,
I'm not arguing about that. But even if he's good, I don't think this Alabama team
is quite as good as it's
quite as good as the teams that they've had,
especially defensively.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I think you might be right. Should we nominate Joe Stonecrab primetime players
real quickly? Carm Ambovada right now.
Yeah.
You have to give $1,000 to win 100 for Joe Burrow.
So now I can't even really hedge it either.
Justin Fields is now your second favorite at plus 750. And then Jalen is 10-1.
Boy, he's actually 10-1 at this point. Wow. Yeah. Well, it was fun while it lasted. My Jalen Hurts 9-1 wager I made back in August and looked good for a little while. But then, damn it, Joe Burrow came along and he's so good. You want to nominate Joe's players real quick, Eric, since we're talking about it?
Yeah, every Monday, why don't you go ahead and do something.
Sure. Every Monday, your chance to win the $100 gift card to Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab Restaurant, one of our favorite places in Chicago. And I am going to go, not with Joe Burrow, but instead I'm going to go with the running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, for my Joe Stonecrab Primetime Player of the Weekend. A buck 80, 180 yards in Tuscaloosa, and not one, not two, not three, but four touchdowns. And he was just running over guys and spinning out of tackles and making guys miss and stiff-arming. I mean, it was everything. It was like Barry Sanders meets Walter Payton. Yeah, I said it. That's what I just did. He was sensational for the Tigers, so I'm going to go with Clyde Edwards-Helaire for my Joe Stonecrab Primetime Player of the Weekend. Who would you like to go
Carm,
with?
I'm going to go off the reservation here, if you don't mind.
You're going
on
with
this
Jeff Maggard, aren't you?
No, I tell you what I'm going to go with. And the guy that didn't have a touchdown this season, he had three in this game. And then Christian Kirk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he had himself three touchdowns, six receptions for 138 yards. Kyler Murray's looking for somebody that he can go ahead and depend on. Maybe this is a connection that's heading in the right direction fantasy owners out there and for Kyler Murray. So I'm going to go Christian Kirk, wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals.
All right, sounds good. Guys, who is our Joe Stonecrab primetime player of
the
weekend?
Chris Buck just brought up no Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson, huh? Just,
well, could have, well, I voted for Edwards-Helaire. I mean, like, he had four touchdowns.
No Mitch Trubisky? Lamar, I mean, what's going on, haters?
Lamar Jackson was fantastic. But
it's the Bengals.
He did against the Bengals.
Okay.
And that's the only thing. Quality of competition was definitely brought into play on that.
I didn't think my guy was a bad nomination. I thought Yurko probably would go with Burrow, so that's why I went with Edwards-Helaire. But he went off the board.
Yeah.
So who is it?
Let's go with the LSU running back.
I would think so.
Yeah. There you go.
Christian Kirk did have a great game, and I saw last week, I don't know if it was Field Yates or someone had up their sleeper pick of the week, Christian Kirk.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good job by Field.
Well, the Field had it correctly then.
And Field and I think, had it correctly, even though Philip Rivers wasn't all that great the other night. He still outscored Aaron Rodgers in fantasy. So we did pick that one right.
How about that?
Did you see that Lamar Jackson became only the second player ever to have two perfect quarterback ratings in the same season? You do take it with a grain of salt. They were against the Dolphins and the Bengals, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but at least he's beating horrid teams.
Do you know who the only other player? You know who the only other player to do that was?
Two in 1 year?
In 1 year.
Brett Favre.
Not Brett Favre. That's a good guess.
Aaron Rodgers.
That's who I would have guessed.
Was it Troy Aikman?
Not Troy Aikman.
Was it Steve Young?
Active player.
Active player?
Russell Wilson.
Nope. Good guess.
Great guess.
Drew Brees.
Nope. Another good guess.
Was it Garmin? Was it this guy?
It was a guy.
Give me a hint.
Active player, but hurt right now.
Active
player. Cam Newton.
Not Cam Newton. You guys are forgetting one. Big Ben Roethlisberger back
Big
in
Ben.
2007.
Good for Big Ben.
All right, more of your Bears calls coming up. 312-332-3776. Allen Robinson, top of the hour. It's Kermit and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
The blitz is picked up. There's an open man. It's Rashad Bateman, and he is gone. Touchdown, Minnesota. 66 yards.
Back to Burrow. Hand to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Goes near side. Stiff arms a man. Gets to the five. Breaks through. Stays upright. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Tigers.
Swing pass. Catch made. Cohen. Does he have the angle? Yes. Touchdown, Bears.
He had the angle and he had the speed.
It's going to Cohen the whole way.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
And the three-teamer hits. Good job, Yurko. I went 2-0 on the odds couple. Mike still has a play out there tonight. He likes the Niners tonight. Odds couple will be back a little bit later this Friday night to wrap the week because we have Notre Dame basketball at 6. I think Mike and I will probably hit the air about 8:30 or so Friday night. Encore replay, of course, Saturday morning from 8 until 9. Yurko gave you the three-teamer on Friday when we were at Twin Peaks. And he hit it, baby. LSU with the points, one outright. Minnesota with the points, one outright. The Bears minus at the time. It was 2.5, 3, but the quarterback moves the line in this league. When Matthew Stafford goes out, the line went all the way up to 6.5. Bears would have covered anyway, as they won by 7. So nice job.
Free money, kid.
Free money.
It was free money. I handed it out last week. If you wanted it, you got it. You took it. Congratulations.
Mark goes to the front of the line. He is in Rockford. He served 6 years in the Army. Happy Veterans Day, Mark. How are you?
Hey, happy Veterans Day, guys. Shout out to my guys down at General Jones Armory in South Chicago, 117 Infantry.
Absolutely.
Happy Veterans Day to all you guys.
Love it.
Hey, I want to talk about HaHa Clinton Dix, because the name is fitting, because his gameplay has been absolutely laughable. You know, and Adrian Amos, ranked 14th in the NFL right now in all defensive backs. HaHa Clinton Dix, 45th in the NFL, I think, in all defensive backs. I mean, just
is that a pro football Pro Football Focus number you're talking about?
Yeah, I'm taking that from NFL Next Gen Stats.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay,
but I mean, that's just a brutal thing to see, because it just seems like, I mean, Matt Stafford goes out, you have a backup quarterback. It seems like it should be pretty easy to cover those long passes, and he was just hitting those even on the run. This backup quarterback, and he's good. But he's hitting those deep passes, and it's like, are we playing soft coverage all game? I mean, it's just hard to. I know Fuller had a bad game because of after the officiating call, you know, he just kind of went down the tube. But it's been like this all season with HaHa Clinton Dix, and I don't know what to say anymore to that.
All right, Mark. Well, we appreciate it. I don't think HaHa's been all that bad, to be honest. And I can't remember who made this point with us. We asked about HaHa a few weeks back. If we haven't heard a lot about him, isn't that usually, like, normally when you're a defensive back, that's probably a good thing. That means you're not screwing up, right?
Right.
I don't think he's been all that bad. Has Amos played every game for Green Bay, or did he miss a game or two with injury, too? I thought he was on the injury report a couple of times.
I am looking at it. I think there is. His cap hit is 5.9 this year.
Yeah. Al HaHa is much more reasonable.
It's 3.5. Yep. 1 year, $3.5 million. Yeah. So for a little bit more. $2 million, probably about 66% more in salary. They decide, hey, we're going to go a different direction.
Yeah, and he's free at the end of the year.
And you can't pay everyone, and they probably wanted to pay Eddie Jackson at some point.
I think they're thinking about paying Eddie Jackson at some point. More your Bears calls during the 1 o'clock hour and some other fun stuff from the weekend. What a weekend it was. 312-332-3776. Allen Robinson will join us on a Victory Monday next on ESPN 1000.
Bears wide receiver Allen Robinson on ESPN 1000.
Trubisky stepping up.
Allen Robinson, exclusively on ESPN 1000.
Trubisky, Robinson, and he's going to go in for a Chicago touchdown.
Listen to Allen Robinson only on ESPN 1000.
That's right. Every Monday, or after every Bears game at 1 o'clock, Allen Robinson joins Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com. Live in our first Midwest Bank State Street Studios, Allen Robinson is brought to you by Verizon Wireless and the great folks over at Enzo Custom Suits. I just picked up a brand new Enzo Custom last week, I'll have you know. And for the first time in a long time, it's a Victory Monday. That's got to feel good, Allen.
It does. I mean, it feels really good. It's something for us that we feel like has been overdue. We put the work in, so finally to be able to see everything that we've tried to get accomplished, you know, is exciting.
Six catches for 86 yards for you yesterday, and I don't know how many more targets. I mean, it seemed like Mitchell, you were kind of like the safety net for Mitchell yesterday, it felt like.
I mean, you know, for me, just trying to continue to make plays, you know, that's what it's about. You know, for me, just making plays when my number is called, you know, and that's what I try to do each and every week.
What was Club Dub like after the game? Because you guys hadn't celebrated in a while. John Gruden and the Raiders kind of mocked the whole thing when you lost in London. Was it as good as ever? Was it a little bit subdued? What was the party like afterwards?
No, you know, it was fun. You know, again, I mean, I think for us, like I said before, you have a lot of guys from week to week and Sunday to Sunday basis who put in a lot of work. So whenever you get a victory in this league, you know, it should be celebrated. You know, those aren't easy to come by. You know, again, we've
we've lost a lot of winnable games over the past few weeks, lost a lot of close games. So to be able to come out on the winning side of it, it was, you know, just how it was before. Guys enjoying themselves, guys, you know, finally being able to feel accomplished for the work that they put in that week.
Is the music pumping when you guys get in there, or does one of the players make a choice?
Oh, no, it's already going when we get in there.
So who chooses that?
Well, they have a good, I mean, they have a playlist, you know. Our equipment guys and staff, you know, they have a good feel for what the players like, you know. Now it just comes to music, you know, whether this, you know, we have playlists at practice and different things like that, you know. So they're pretty, they know us pretty well.
Did you guys think about, you know, during the losing streak, at any point, did you think about doing something else had you won, or did you know that
like
the club
maybe
would
going,
always
go into country music or yeah, something like that?
Did you know the club was always going to reopen once you guys snapped the losing streak?
Yeah, guys didn't think of anything, you know, differently as far as like that was concerned. You know, we know what's our thing when we win, you know, so we just wanted to keep that going.
It seemed like yesterday during the game when Mitch did come to you, he comes to you in bunches. Like, all of a sudden, it's Allen Robinson time. And I'm going to stick with my guy, and I don't have to stick with him anymore. Does it feel that way for you?
Again, you know, for me, we know based on, you know, some of the looks and things that we get, you know, but every time, like I said before, every time I line up, you know, I want to catch the ball, you know, and I'm running my route to win, you know. So, again, it just comes down to me knowing the game plan, knowing where I need to be, where I need to be there versus different zone looks, versus man-to-man looks. And, you know, again, I mean, like I said before, everybody puts in a lot of work, you know. So I think that when you see different things like that and, you know, when we have success and we are able to, you know, have successful plays in bunches, you know, again, I mean, it's a true testament to everybody's, you know, attention to detail throughout the course of the week.
You made a catch yesterday, and it was in that drive right before the end of the half where you guys scored a touchdown. And you and Anthony Miller were basically standing right next to each other. What was happening on that play?
Can you say that one more time now?
You and Anthony Miller were basically standing right next to each other. You were coming from left to right across the screen, and then Anthony Miller was just standing there like he had run a stop or a hitch route or something like that. And as you caught the ball, you and him were basically next to each other. What happened on that play? Was that you adjusting to something? Was that him breaking something off? What happened on that play?
That's tough. You know, I haven't got a chance to watch the whole game yet. You know, so I'm not 100% sure. You know, I'll have to take a look at it and let you know.
What's Allen Robinson's our guest on ESPN 1000. What's your normal routine, by the way? Like you said, you haven't seen all the tape yet. I mean, how do you normally win or lose Sunday night into Monday? Like, what's your routine for kind of catching up on what just happened on game day?
Yeah, so for me, we watch film and stuff as a unit and as a team on Tuesday. Okay. So normally what I'll do is sometimes on Sunday night, I'll watch the game on either Sunday night or Monday night before we get in. But, you know, for me now, normally what I do is a lot of times I'll actually watch film on, you know, our next opponent, you know, before I actually see the previous game.
Just, yeah.
You know, because I like to watch the game first, you know, with our coaches and stuff, you know, just so we all can kind of, you know, digest it and break it down.
When you guys are at home, do you get home and you start watching that tape of the next opponent, or do you sometimes want to put the Sunday night game on? Like, when you're not playing in primetime, do you put that game on, or is it just sort of on in the background? Like, do you normally watch the Sunday night game?
Sometimes. I did last night. Of course, you know, we had a divisional opponent, you know, playing. So I did catch some of that game, but really it just kind of depends what game is on. Most time when my family is in town, they watch all the games, you know. So they typically for sure will have it on every TV in the house. So typically the Sunday night game will be on. Now, if I watch it or not, that's a different story.
A lot of pick plays are being called by referees all the time. You see the offensive pass interference flag thrown 1,000 times. I want to compliment you on Tariq Cohen's touchdown. The pick that you and another wide receiver made in the middle on number 52 to create the chaos for him to have to go over to the top to allow Cohen to get into the end zone was one of beauty. Is that the way they got to run him now, though? It's got to be deep in the middle, away from where the football's at, so you could be successful without it being penalized?
Honestly, I would say it's just about, you know, knowing how and knowing what you want to get accomplished on the play, you know, again. I mean, you're not trying to, you know, if it's any kind of rub play at all, you know, creating contact is going to, you know, raise a flag, you know. So, again, I mean, you just kind of want to, if you have a route, you know, you really just want to run your route, you know, and just try to be on the details of landmarks and stuff like that, you know, but you can't really get too caught up into, you know, different things like that.
Yeah, the beauty of the design was, though, it was a double pick, Carm. It was two guys in the middle setting up a wall so Cohen could get into the end zone. 52 had to go out of the top. The thing of beauty, I want you to know it, Alan. I just wanted you. I saw it.
I appreciate it.
Was Mitch better yesterday, Alan? Like, did he seem like he had a little bit more of a when you guys had those three straight drives to come away with
that? There was a rhythm's going to get you, man.
Was there more of a rhythm yesterday out of Mitch?
You know, I would say we definitely had a rhythm. You know, again, I think that we were able to establish a rhythm, you know, especially before the half. Being able to move the ball a little bit and to, you know, get some first downs and stuff. That's the thing. You know, a lot of times we don't have a rhythm. It may be because we're starting drive slow or not winning on first down or not being able to have success on third down. You know, so on those drives, we were able to get first downs on second downs, you know, first downs on first downs. So when you're able to do that, you can't get into a rhythm as an offense.
Alan, I have a tendency to focus on you on the field because, A, you're on my fantasy team. So I always want to see what's happening, what's going on, if there's missed opportunities, not missed opportunities. And you're a former Jaguar, as am I.
That's right.
A little close to my heart, if you don't mind.
I don't think we've talked about that, by the way, that you and Alan are both former Jaguars.
That we are. He's current bear, former Jaguar. But there was a nine route in the second half that you ran down the left sideline. To the TV. So it was the far sideline to the television set. And it looked like you had space. You had space to the sideline. Looked like you had your guy beat and the ball was overthrown. And you were a little animated back toward the quarterback. What were your emotions on that specific play?
Oh, I mean, it wasn't to the quarterback at all. I don't want to say too much without giving the concept away, you know, but it was a concept that we had, but it wasn't toward the quarterback at all.
Okay, so you're just upset that maybe the concept worked and you didn't quite connect, or did the concept
it did
not work?
It didn't have anything to do with the concept or the quarterback or anything like that.
Alan Robinson's our guest on ESPN 1000. Speaking of being a former Jaguar, you're going to face your former teammate this weekend, Jalen Ramsey, aren't you, when you go play the Rams?
Yeah.
You think Jalen's going to be on you a lot?
Of course. It'll definitely be exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Should I bench you?
No.
Should I bench you, Alan? I mean, what's going on here? He's like the glove.
How good is he?
Jalen's pretty good. You know, I mean, I think that's something that we see, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, I got a job to do and I'm ready to go.
Yeah. Was he a good teammate or is he kind of a pain in the rump? Because, you know, the way things ended in Jacksonville, I know he's a great player, but I don't know. It just seemed like, was he tough to get along with?
Nah, I don't know. No, he wasn't tough to get around to get along with. You know, again, I mean, down there, you know, with some of the stuff, you know, he had his differences. You know, but I mean, sometimes that's how it is. You know, players have their differences for whatever it may be. You know, maybe it may be management or whatever. You know, but as far as the team standpoint, you know, that's a little bit different. You know, it didn't have too much to do with the team. You know, from just me being down there from you know the experience that you know everybody else kind of saw.
So now the unpleasant part: your Nittany Lions are no longer undefeated. That was a tough one
they
in Minnesota on Saturday.
Bed. Oh my heavens!
It was tough, man. Again, it was a very tough call down the stretch. They actually called us for a pick call. On a play down there towards the goal line that would have put us at the 2-yard line, first and goal from the 2. But they thought, I mean, they called offensive pass interference. I thought it was a horrible call. I didn't think that the receiver had any intentions to pick. The running back ran kind of like a Texas route.
Yeah.
You know, like going to the flat and breaking back in. And I thought that the linebacker who was guarding him just kind of got lost in the wake of the receiver and his defender. But it didn't look like it was any, you know, intent. I mean, you wouldn't ask a receiver to pick for a running back running a Texas route. You know?
Right. And that penalty came in from the side. I mean, the side judge called that call.
Yeah.
And on a Texas route, the tight end's clearing, giving you two different levels where to go. So the quarterback, if the linebacker goes deep, goes to the Texas route.
Right.
If the linebacker breaks off on the running back, he's going to the tight end. Yeah. So it doesn't make any sense on that play that there would be a pick.
You guys got victimized.
Yeah, and you know, and just again, for me looking at the play, you know, I didn't think that there were any there wasn't any intent by the receiver. You know, there wasn't any intent and much contact, if any, at all. You know, so as I was watching the game, I definitely was frustrated by that call, you know, because then we pushed it back to, I think, second and 24 from, like, the, 24, 26-yard line or something like that.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a tough one for me Saturday.
So last week when we talked to you, you said you were thinking about going to see LeBron and AD and the Lakers at the UC last Tuesday night. Did you make it to that game last week?
I did make it to that game. Nice. I did.
The Bulls blew a lead, but hey, you guys went and you won. The Bulls play the Knicks tomorrow. You might have to go back to the game tomorrow night.
You think so?
Keep the Tuesday night tradition going, you know?
Don't mess with the mojo. I know, right? You know, I mean, I'm a big basketball fan, and you know, as is a lot of guys on the team, you know. So it was a fun experience for us.
Do you want to be courtside or you want to be up in a suite?
We actually were in a suite. Compliments to Taylor, you know. But I wouldn't mind sitting courtside. You know, I think you know, seeing the game from that perspective, you know, is a pretty unique thing.
Yeah, that's the best. It's a treat when you're down on those seats on the floor. All right, well, great win. Have a good week of practice. Good luck Sunday night. Sunday night football against the Rams. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Alan. There he is, Alan Robinson, brought to you by Verizon Wireless and Enzo Custom. And he did not like the call at the end of the Penn State-Minnesota game, that pick play.
No, he didn't. We've talked about the Texas route. That was a staple for Mike Holmgren.
Mm-hmm.
The San Francisco 49ers probably run it to death.
And again, that's where the running back looks like he's going into the flat and then cuts it back into the, hoping to find a little void when the linebacker's dropping to cover a tight end.
What usually happens, how you set that play up, that running back is usually running an arrow out into the flat.
Right.
Always running that arrow. So your linebacker knows he's hell-bent for election, trying to get out there so he can get to you, so he can beat you there, or maybe get you so he can coincide with the pass getting there.
Right.
So when you run that enough, when you give him the same action and the look, well, he turns his head. He's hell-bent looking for a guy coming to pick or something. And all he needs to do is turn his head a little bit. You plant and you come right up the gut. The tight end's clearing out a linebacker, taking him deep.
Right.
And then you get that pass. It's always about a 7, 8, 10-yard. You break one tackle, 10, 12-yard gain. Right up the middle, right up the gut, hard to defend. And, you know, that's the beauty of that play. And they called the tight end for interference on that play, when in essence, whoever was guarding him was, you know, trying to interfere with him and slow him down.
Right.
So he could make the decision through the tight end to get back to the running back.
Right. Why do they call it the Texas route? The Tex Schramm runner or what?
No, just that's what they named it. Like the same with China. China's a shallow cross.
Yeah?
Yeah. So if somebody runs
in a zone,
that's a defensive call to the route that's being run.
Really?
It's a shallow cross.
Huh.
So if you're in a zone, what you want to do is identify to the guy on the far side that you've got a China route coming across. So underneath, shallow right, you make the China call in a zone, letting that guy know there's a shallow cross coming across. So you'd hear China, China, China. Same way that when they come in a bunch, and they'd run spaghetti routes off of that. The coverage principle then was a spaghetti adjustment. So you see it come up, you see it, and it's pasta.
Right,
but it's it's spaghetti. It's spaghetti. So our audible to that was spaghetti.
Really?
Because that's the kind of routes that come out of there.
Look like spaghetti.
Strings of spaghetti.
Wow,
yeah.
Oh, man. Hey, do you want to hear Matt Nagy again on Adam Shaheen? Adam Shaheen was a healthy scratch yesterday. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Second round pick from a few short years ago.
Let's hear it.
Done next to nothing, I guess it's fair to say, in the NFL. This was Matt Nagy when asked, what do you need to see from Shaheen if he's going to be active again?
Again, we want all of our players to be able to be completely detailed and just play hard and do everything they can to be the best player they can be.
Does Shaheen have a chance to be active this week, or is this an until further notice, this is the way you're going to go with it?
Right. Again, we're kind of working through all that.
Ouch.
Kind of working through all that.
I mean, that's... Listen to that again.
Again, we want all of our players to be able to be completely detailed and just play hard and do everything they can to be the best player they can be.
Detailed and play hard. I mean, it's like it's bad enough that he's got one touchdown in his last 14 games. I mean, you know,
he's not a red zone target.
You're going to say goodbye to Adam Shaheen at the end of the year, and you're going to get virtually nothing out of him.
Yeah,
I mean, nothing. And you spend a second-round pick. Like, you could have grabbed Juju Smith-Schuster, I'm just saying. But, okay, you went for Baby Gronk, which is an insanely stupid nickname for a guy
Kittle?
That played at Ashland.
Wasn't Kittle later,
Kittle was, like, this is where the people who say, well, you can't get upset about Trubisky because nobody, about Mahomes and Watson, excuse me, because nobody thought he was going to go that high. That's absurd. Now, the Kittle argument I'd get, like, George Kittle went in the fifth round. Like, I kind of get it. The Niners identified something that a lot of teams missed on, and, right, and they developed the
four
guy.
Four times.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, I get it. You know, I mean,
it's like Brady. They missed on Brady five times.
Right.
Well, even the New England Patriots said
no. Right, five times.
Oh, you're still here. Okay, we'll
now
take
we'll take you,
you
in the sixth round. So, like, with Kittle, you tip your hat to the Niners. They've developed him. He's terrific. He's not playing tonight, by the way. I think that's official. But I can't get too down on the Bears for that, because that's just good scouting, good development by the Niners. And even the Niners passed on him a couple of times. He was a fifth-round pick. Nobody, like, that I get. That's an argument that you can buy. To say that the Bears, nobody knew Watson or Mahomes would be this good, they weren't drafted in the fourth or fifth round. They were picks 10 and 12. So it's an absurd argument. But I won't say it's quite the same with Shaheen and Kittle. If anything, you look at a team that could have used a wide receiver 4 years ago or 3 years ago when they drafted him, and Juju Smith-Schuster is there, and you're drafting Adam Shaheen. Like, that's a miss. Different position, but you're looking for a skill position player. You were looking for a guy to get into the end zone with the football. And somehow they thought Adam Shaheen out of Ashland was the answer, and he most certainly is not going to be the answer to anything other than who was the biggest bust from that draft. That's going to be Adam Shaheen drafted in the second round. So it is what it is. Career here is probably over.
And speaking of receivers, tight ends here, but receiver, Marvin Jones Jr. had the better game. 77 yards against 57.
Out of Galladay.
Galladay
had a couple of, he had a couple bad drops. He had one really bad drop yesterday.
Him and Driscoll not on the same page. And that one they said was a little bit behind wasn't behind at all. It was right there. He should have made the catch. And he could have ran to the end zone on that one.
Wait, he's not the one over the middle? Yerk?
Yeah, they're like a little slant play. Yeah, that was run over the middle.
He could have made that catch.
Really? That was easy.
The last throw of the game, that would have been tough.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he was going to make that catch. He should have caught that ball.
One over the middle, he might still be running.
Yeah, exactly.
It hit both hands.
He's got to catch
it. I mean, it may have been a little high, but he didn't have to jump for it. He just reached up to get it.
Didn't he have a costly penalty on that last drive, too, when they picked up a first down? Didn't he have an illegal hands to the face or offensive? He had a penalty, I thought, on that last drive too, didn't
I'll
he?
I'll have to go to the play.
Did you guys notice what he did on his one catch though on the final drive? He marked the ball himself.
Oh,
he,
I saw that.
He put it 2 yards ahead of where he caught it.
Yeah, and the umpire just marked it right there.
Somebody goes, these officials get paid? I mean, what? The guy just took two yards forward, and the umpire marked the ball there.
By the way, this is from Juju Smith-Schuster, who was having a Twitter battle this week with Jalen Ramsey. Last week.
Yeah, last week.
After the game, they
made up, it seemed like.
He said after the game, he talks so much. He said so many cuss words I ain't never heard of, and I'm 22 years old.
Allen Robinson, as we talked about, against his former teammate, Jalen Ramsey, this Sunday night.
And this is the way Jalen plays. Yeah. I mean, that's what he does. He's going to get in your kitchen.
We'll grab some more Bears calls coming up. 312-332-3776 if you want to join us. What a weekend of football it was. And a historic weekend for the underdogs, Yurko. And in the NFL, the dogs are on pace to cash in at a historic rate. I mean, it's been a wild season so far. 312-332-ESPN is the number. Victory Monday is brought to you by your Chicagoland Acura dealers. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
Again, we want all of our players to be able to be completely detailed and just play hard and do everything they can to be the best player they can be.
Does he have a chance to be active this week, or is this an until further notice? This is the way you're going to go with it.
Right. Again, we're kind of working through all that.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
I'm not good for Adam Shaheen. That was Matt Nagy today. Adam Shaheen was a healthy scratch yesterday. And Ben Broniker caught a touchdown pass.
Nice. You got to like that, Carmen. I'm done with OPP.
Bears beat the Lions 20-13. Now it's a trip to L.A. to take on the Rams. They just spanked the Rams last year. A lot of people think that Vic Fangio gave Bill Belichick the blueprint for the Super Bowl performance.
That's
and the dominating Super Bowl performance. And Sean McVay was even on NFL Films when it was all said and done. Remember that clip where a few drives in, he's talking to the booth upstairs in the headset, and he says, this is all Bears. He says, they're doing exactly what the Bears did to us. So, of course, Belichick looked at that tape and said, we're going to try to replicate it best we can. They did. That offense, much like Matt Nagy's offense this year, has really stalled. We're not huge fans of Jared Goff. I'm still kind of surprised that Sean McVay decided to give Jared Goff that money.
Wow.
Like, and I know he's not the GM. Les Snead is Yurko's guy.
Yes, he is.
But I think Sean McVay's got a pretty powerful voice in that organization. It surprises me. But their offense, I mean, listen to some of these numbers, Yurk. So they had the big showdown a year ago on the lakefront. It was a bitterly cold night. It's going to be much different in L.A. this Sunday night. But it was a game dominated by defenses. Really, both defenses were great. The Bears shine bright.
And they also shut down Aaron Donald.
They did do a good job against Aaron Donald. And the Bears won that game. And like I said, a lot of people think that's where the blueprint has come to kind of figure out that offense and how to slow them down. The Bears open as about a 6.5-point underdog for this game in Week 11. But the Rams are, like the Bears, struggling, just 5-4 out of the playoffs right now, more than halfway home. Rams are not a playoff team. Just 5-4. And listen to these numbers, Yerk. Averaging about 8 points per game fewer than last year. They've also seen about an 11% decrease in their average yards per play in 2019. And the Bears are having the similar issues. They, too, are averaging 8 points per game fewer than they did a year ago. The Bears have seen a whopping 18.5% decrease in their average yards per play. Now, what's so scary about that? The Bears weren't particularly good last year on offense. The Rams were. So, okay, they've had about a 10-11% drop-off. The Bears weren't really that great in average yards per play, and the bottom has fallen out.
Yes, it has.
In yards per play.
Making a prognostication upon some evidence?
Not yet. I'm just saying they've kind of mirrored each other with some of the offensive struggles. And the word now is, well, teams have just figured these offenses out. They figured out Sean McVay's offense. They figured out Matt Nagy's. You know what? I should go bring up this tweet that I was reading late last week.
Late last week or late last night?
No, late last week. It was like Friday or Saturday.
Who is the purveyor of this tweet?
Somebody was relaying something that Rich Eisen had said. And it was about all the trickeration and all the stuff last year and all the gimmicky stuff that the Bears did, that Mitchell Trubisky wasn't really learning how to play the quarterback position. That this was one assessment from an NFL, somebody in the NFL that they had to Rich Eisen. Maybe it was on Rich's podcast.
Right.
I'm not sure. Chris, see if you can maybe dig that up, if you can find any reference to that. I saw somebody tweet it, you know, per Rich Eisen, that this evaluator, this NFL person had said there was so much gimmicky crap last year. They were never teaching Mitchell Trubisky how to play the position. Maybe that's because, I don't know, why is that? Did Nagy know back then that he wasn't crazy about Mitch and he had to sort of cut the field in half and be real gimmicky with him?
He realized that he had to keep it simple.
Right.
He couldn't complicate or overcomplicate things.
And that's why they were using that as an explanation as to why Mitch hasn't gotten better this year.
There's a couple places you could learn the game from. The game you can learn from film, watching film, taking a look at it. From that, you've got to be able to take it on the field. Underneath the center, you can learn it. Or you can sit back next to the head coach and listen to the head coach tell you what he sees. This is it. This is it. This is it. This is what I'm seeing. This is what might happen. This is what could happen. This is where he's going to need to go. Remember, I always told you Ty Detmer knew exactly what the hell he was doing.
You've always said that.
Yeah. Always.
Nobody had to, like, teach him that, right? He knew.
Ty Detmer was limited physically with what he could do. He separated both shoulders in college in the Texas A&M game. They absolutely brutalized him, beat him up in the bowl game. So physically, he was who he was. Wasn't going to blow you out of the park with his physical nature and or his speed.
Mm-hmm.
But mentally, sharp as a tack.
He knew it all.
Knew exactly where everything needed to be, and he could read it, he could understand it, he could comprehend it instantaneously.
Karma, I found what you're talking about.
Thank you, Merck.
This is from, according to a told to Rich Eisen, according to a coach with a Super Bowl ring on his resume.
Okay, so a Super Bowl winning coach.
Yes.
Super Bowl winner.
Winner, yes.
Okay. That makes him, I guess, more important than just another coach that doesn't have a Super Bowl.
Of course, yeah, credibility.
I doubt it.
All right, anyways, the coach used all these gimmicks last year, and the rest of the league sniffed it out, and Trubisky does not know how to do the basics because it was so gimmicky last year, Eisen said. The offense this year has been smoked out, totally defrocked, and Trubisky, when it comes to going through reads and progressions like regular basic football, can't do it. Isn't ready to do it, isn't up for doing it in terms of successfully, not the want to.
Yeah.
And I, Carm, you didn't play in the Super Bowl. What have we said since day one? he's got a problem with progressions and reads.
Yeah, we knew that.
Okay, so put a Super Bowl ring on your finger and tell me about it, because you didn't need to be a Super Bowl winning coach to tell you the basics of this.
The Tailgate Show just tweeted me the link to it. Looks like it was from a Barstool podcast, November 7th.
No.
Is that not right? Oh, I'm sorry.
Barstool Rich Eisen said on his show.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Chris. So that's it. Randy just read it. That was basically it.
Okay.
From what Rich had said.
And you don't have to be a rocket scientist. Now, I'm giving you and Sylvie and all these guys that didn't play football the props in the world. You didn't have to be a Super Bowl winning coach to say that.
Well, that's true. There were issues when it came to reading the field, diagnosing the defense.
The whole world knows he can't go from 1 to 2 to 3. The whole world knows.
So Nagy's
1, 2, 3 dump off.
But did they think he somehow was going to figure that out this year?
Yeah, at some point,
they played the Green Bay game, I guess you sort of. They thought he'd get it, and he just hasn't gotten it.
At some point, I think they're hoping that it is going to click. He made some nice throws this weekend, Carm.
I'll give him credit.
I'm going to try to build upon that. I'm not sold on him. I don't think he can play a lick.
He did make a few nice throws this weekend.
Yeah, when they turned it off toward halftime, he all of a sudden made plays. Okay, when they turned it off, I would never turn it off against him.
I wouldn't either.
Be on from the mid go. The flame's on high, okay, and he's in the skillet and he's dancing. He's never going to rest. I'm never taking that pan off the fire. Okay, it is always on Trubisky. You make a mistake when you don't have his feet under the flame. Okay, if you're a defensive coordinator anywhere, you look at him, I'm always putting it on him. I'm always putting it on him.
Kevin's on the south side on ESPN 1000. Hey, Kevin.
Yeah, there's two things I want to talk about. First of all, as far as the Bears game, believe me, I know it was ugly, but I'll take it.
I'll take it every time. W's, baby.
Right. I mean, you get 6 more of those, you're in the playoffs, right?
That's right.
Only 6.
Right. Right. And I don't know, after that game, I watched the Green Bay and Carolina game. What did these referees have against throwing the flag on Rodgers? Because there was two, and he was sacked in the end zone twice. And it was an intentional grounding twice. And they called, and that should have been like a safety, am I right? Both times?
Well, yeah, I thought they were calling it. That play yesterday, I thought that was going to be a safety.
Intentional grounding in the end zone is absolutely.
I'm like, look at this. I said, safety. They're going to call a safety here. I go, wow, this is going to change the game. Wrong.
And the thing about this is the second game in a row that they just benefited Rodgers at the Detroit game again, where they gave him two wins, just like that.
The Stars get a little of the beneficial treatment, I guess, Kev. You know, that's the way it goes.
You can't breathe on them sometimes, guys. I know how it works.
Boy, how about the Packers, man, and what they're doing in the ground game right now? And, you know, it's a lot like the Shanahan offense, and it has just been. It's just a good scheme, I guess. And I don't want to take away from their personnel because that's the most important thing. But the scheme is good. They just know how to run the ball. It's something that the Bears have struggled mightily with.
And they haven't for a long time. The Packers have struggled running the ball.
Well, McCarthy never really. Again, there are these different variations within the West Coast. McCarthy was always more of a let's throw this thing. And he had Aaron Rodgers, so why wouldn't you? I mean, you know, you got one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But in his mind, it was, we got to throw it, and we got to throw it, and we got to throw it again.
But you can tell that now it's
more of a commitment to the run.
They rushed the ball 27 times for 163 yards. I mean, they're running.
It's a good day.
They're running the ball.
They are. So are the Niners, and they're undefeated.
Got to see what Aaron Jones has for the season.
Oh, how many touchdowns does Aaron Jones have?
11 touchdowns. Yeah. 589 yards.
He leads the league.
Yeah. Actually, he's got 14 touchdowns if you include receptions.
Yeah, I think he leads the league, and McCaffrey's second, right? In total touchdowns, I think.
I believe you're 100% correct.
They're 1-2.
Now let me get to James Williams. He's had himself a nice little Jamal Williams.
Jamal Williams.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go with James.
I'd call him Jamal, but
all right, you call him what you like. I'm going to call him James.
Okay,
James Williams. Now
I'm going to name him Jamal. I'm going to call him Jamal.
291 yards rushing, 1 touchdown, 5 receiving touchdowns, 6 touchdowns on the year. So you're talking about a tremendous amount of productivity through 10 games. They've got 20 touchdowns between the two of them, Carm.
Yeah,
20 touchdowns between your running backs.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot of touchdowns for your running back position through 10 games.
Right.
Yeah. It's 2 a game. It's pretty good.
Yeah, the Niners have the, third most attempts in the league on the ground. Green Bay doesn't have as many as I thought. I thought this would have been higher. They are, I don't know why they don't number these. They make you count them. Now I got to count like Francesa. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So the Packers are actually 13th in the number of attempts on the year. They've played 10 games. Minnesota's first, and why not with Dalvin Cook? He's been incredible.
How about the toss play that they love to run with him? Yeah. Remember when I tell you how do you loosen things up?
I'm with you on that 100%.
People think I'm a lunatic when I say run a toss play.
No, I love it.
I'm with you.
Well, you get him going east, west. One guy ends up tripping. One guy makes a mistake. Two guys are being cut, and the next thing you know, you're dancing through the hole. And that's what Dalvin Cook
is. I know we need to run the ball more. I'm not an idiot.
I love it. But look at Cleveland.
I'm totally with you.
Cleveland on the goal line.
They
those eight plays ran three tosses and they couldn't do crap.
They can't score.
Of course, down there may not be the best play in the world. Why? Because your safeties are up on the line of scrimmage.
Right.
You don't have that time for that natural mesh to maybe take plays.
It's compressed anyway.
It's compressed.
The Vikings are first in the league. They've played 10 games, 326 attempts. The second place team's not going to surprise you. The Ravens.
Yeah.
322. San Fran in only eight games with a game to go tonight, Yurko, because they've already had their bye and they're playing tonight. They're at 303 already. So by the end of the night, they're probably going to be second with the Ravens. Then the Colts, then the Seahawks. And you got to go way down the list to get to the Bears. And the Bears have one of the worst averages in the entire National Football League at just 3.5 yards per clip. There are only five teams worse than the Bears.
Tell me, when we come back, I want your assessments of 142. You know what 142 is?
142.
142. It's number 72 and 70, your offensive tackles together.
Okay.
I want an assessment on the 142 tomorrow, today.
All right.
When we come back, it's almost 142. So why a perfect time to go ahead and take a look at both tackles and what you thought of them yesterday.
We also need a Joe's winner. Who was our Joe's Stone Crab primetime player of the weekend? Remember, every Monday you could win a $100 gift card to go have a great meal and just experience a fabulous night out at Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab Restaurant. So try to win that gift card. Caller 10, you're up first. 312-332-3776. Who was our Joe's player of the weekend? It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
This is the Cover 2 with Carmen and Yurko.
Breaks a tackle at the 5. Pounds his way in to the end zone.
One game, two plays. We have you covered. It's the Cover 2 with Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Wait for your cue. Don't call now, but in the next 5 minutes or so, we'll get a Cover 2 contestant. Congrats to Tom Benson. Tom knew that Edwards-Helaire was our... Joe Stonecrab, primetime player of the weekend. I mean, he was great for LSU. So was Joe Burrow, but what a win for the Tigers. I don't know. I mean, Tom Benson's a billionaire. I don't think he needs the gift card.
Former owner of the New Orleans Saints, right? Is he gone? Is he not with us anymore?
He hasn't been with us for a couple of years.
Damn. Tom Benson is with us.
He's really not going to be able to use that gift card.
Yeah, Shorewood.
Tom Benson in Shorewood is the winner.
My favorite Shores, right next to Beverly Shores.
I love Beverly Shores. That's a great little vacation spot on the other side of the lake. You know, the water is like 15 degrees warmer on that side of the lake.
It is.
Because of like the thermodynamics of the...
Thermodynamics of the piece of water, the body of water.
You could really never go swimming, even in August, in Lake Michigan here. It's freezing. I mean, you could...
No, you can in August. A lot of guys go swimming here.
I used to, when I trained for the triathlon, I'd still wear my wetsuit. It was freezing. But you go over there, and it's like you're going into bath water. I'm like, how is this possible?
I think it's a possibility, Carm. I think you're going to be okay.
It's crazy.
Oh, I think you'll be okay.
Even when I trained in June and July, York, I'm telling you, I would wear my wetsuit.
It was chilly. Well, June I can understand because the water hasn't warmed yet.
Yeah. It's cold, man.
But it was getting there. It was getting there. I know by August, beginning of August, the water temperature is good enough to go ahead and take a little dabble in because I guess I'm in Indiana Dunes.
Warmer over there.
Again, but it's not like the other side. You know, the other side.
So like then Lake Geneva, even in the middle of summer, man, that water's cold. That's glacial water. That stuff is cold.
Deep, man. You're getting deep. That's why them sturgeon love it low. 600 feet down low.
Man. All right, so you wanted to ask me about 142, the collective
142,
number.
The collective Bob Massey. It looked like they were trying to get rid of Trubisky themselves, and they almost succeeded.
Massey had a brutal game.
Yeah.
I mean, Waddle and I were just talking about this outside. Waddle and Sylvia are coming up. I mean, all you need to know is, did they have a bad game? Well... I gave you the stat last week. The Detroit Lions were, I think, ranked about 27th in the league in sack rate coming in. The Lions, going into the game, had 14 sacks. They had 5 yesterday. I mean, it probably
19
tells you.
Now.
19 now. Probably tells you all you need to know. And for an offense, Oakland moved the ball on them with ease, had a bunch of yards 2 weeks ago. I mean, teams have been moving the ball.
Usually you're moving the balls, but yes. you go ahead and move my balls.
Teams have been moving the ball against the Lions all year. We gave you all these, the breakdown last week.
Yeah.
And the Bears still only had 266 yards, or what, 226 yards of offense, or whatever it was.
Not a
very good day.
I'm hoping on Sunday, December 15th, it matters. Bears going up to Green Bay, I hope it matters. Well, Sunday, December 15th.
If they can beat a reeling Rams team, they get the Giants at home, and then they've got the Lions again on Thanksgiving, and maybe without Matt Stafford. So
before you know it, by the end of November, you could be sitting here in a pretty good situation, feeling a little bit frosty about yourself.
Yeah. Well, Waddle and Sylvia are coming in a few for Crosstalk. We'd like to say Happy Veterans Day to all the veterans out there. If you have served in the past, if you still serve, we appreciate you. I tweeted a picture this morning of my dad in his Marine Corps, some shot of him when he was in the Marine Corps. It's a great shot. My grandpa looking dapper. A lot of people think I look just like I'm a spitting image of my grandpappy.
He's a Marine?
My grandpa was in the Army, World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Purple Heart with a cluster, wounded twice.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah, took a bullet and got, he had a Yurko injury through his hamstring, took a bunch of shrapnel through his hamstring.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Boy.
That ended the service, if I'm not mistaken, actually. Cut all through his hamstring and into his glute.
Ended his soccer career, too.
I think it did, actually.
Yeah. Was he fading the ball right all the time, too, on the golf course?
No, he never golfed.
Oh, what a shame.
No, yeah, he didn't. Yeah, there's...
Never had a spoon or a niblick in his hand?
Never I doubt
you know he ate...
He ate a spoon,
he ate soup with a spoon. Come on.
I doubt my grandfather ever picked up a golf club once. That just didn't really exist back then when they grew up, you know?
Yeah.
You had to be from privilege, I think, to play golf back then.
Back in Argentina?
No, this is my dad's dad. He was born here.
Oh, he was born here? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was born here, yeah. But, you know, you grew up in the Depression. They weren't playing golf.
Nobody was playing golf.
They were poor. And
October of 29 was a good... Not a good time for him.
They didn't play. I don't think he knew what golf was. He didn't know what soccer really was either. He was born here.
I know.
He loved the Cubs.
Yes.
And he loved gambling.
Like we all did.
He loved football.
Yes.
That's what he loved.
Like we all did.
He didn't care about hockey or basketball. He didn't care about any of that. He loved the Cubs, and he loved football because he loved to gamble.
Rams, Giants, Lions, right? That's what our next four.
Rams, Giants, Lions.
Yeah. That's what we're looking at in our next three.
Yeah.
Winnable, winnable, winnable. Okay?
Yeah.
Then you get the, after the Lions, you get the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough game, but
that's
a home game.
The game. Yes, it's a home game, and they're 2-3 at home, Carm, so it's not like they're world beaters.
Week 10 wraps tonight. We need a Cover 2 participant. Caller 10, you get to play. And if you hit it, you qualify. I think our guy last week might have hit it. 312-332-3776. The Niners at home laying 6. The total is 47. Pick a side on each. If you hit the parlay, you're a qualifier. Cover 2 with us. Come on, caller 10, you're in. We'll crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie next on ESPN 1000.